In many ways, the history of the human family is a history of movement. People moving from one place to another, people beginning and ending and beginning again, large movements and small movements. The history of salvation is the history of a people moving. The very beginning of salvation history, the call of Abraham, was an invitation to Abraham to move from where he lived to some place God would point out to him. And the movement of the people of Israel from slavery to freedom was a movement from Egypt into the desert and ultimately into the Promised Land. A movement that God guided, for God guided those people with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. The story of the human family is, in one sense, the story of immigration. It is the story of refugees. It is the story of displaced persons. And for St. Matthew, in his picture of the incarnation and the story of the birth and the childhood of Jesus, that's a key piece. Matthew has the home of Jesus in Bethlehem. In Matthew's story, Mary and Joseph are citizens of the city of David, of Bethlehem. And the child is born there. And shortly after the child's birth, because of the fear of the king and his desire to secure his power, he seeks to murder the children of Bethlehem. And so Joseph and Mary take the child and they flee across the border, they flee to Egypt. And there they stay for a while. They flee to a place that is different from what they know, a place in which the language is new, the culture is new, the custom is new, the religion is new. They flee to a place where they are a stranger, where they are different. And after a period of time, the king dies, and an angel says to Joseph, "You can bring the child back now to the land of Israel, for the one who sought the life of the king, or sought the life of the child, has now died." And so Joseph takes his wife, Mary, and Jesus, and comes back out of Egypt, and it's his intention to return to his house, to Bethlehem. And yet he was warned that Archelaus, the son of Herod, now ruled Judea. And once again, Joseph and Mary and that child are unable to return to their home. Once again, they have to find someplace else to live. And so they leave Judea and they go south and they end up in the town of Nazareth. And there is again an outsider they seek to make their home. They seek to make a life for themselves. The story of salvation, the story of human life, is that story of movement. And part of the mystery of the incarnation is that God chooses to embrace that reality. And God chooses to be part of that experience, an experience that is universal. I would suspect that for the vast majority of us, we are second and third generation. That if not our parents, then our grandparents or great-grandparents came here from someplace else. Some of them came because of economic reasons. Some of them came because of political reasons. Some of them came because of religious reasons. Some of them came legally, and some of them came illegally. My grandfather entered the United States illegally. He came from the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and he emigrated into Canada. And he lived in Saskatchewan for a number of years among the Indians of Saskatchewan. He lived in the sod huts that were the living places of those people. And for economic reasons, he came south. He crossed the border and he settled in the city of St. Paul. But crossed the border without papers, crossed the border without fulfilling the legal obligations. And that's been the history. That's been the history of the world. People moving. Moving because of economic need, moving in order to reunite families, moving for cultural reasons, moving for political reasons, oppression, moving for religious reasons, intolerance. Moving. People moving. Now, there's been a countervailing issue that has faced the world also from the very beginning. And that is the need of peoples and the needs of society to establish order and to establish the boundaries of land that identify people. That's a human right that a society has, to establish its limits and to have secure and sure borders so that the ordinary life of a people can go on, so that the economic and commercial life can go on, so that the social and cultural life can go on without threat. And human societies have a right to protect those borders against invasion, against threat, against an enemy. And that movement has been a movement from the very beginning of time as well. The movement of secure borders. Very often those borders were secured by military presence. The city of New Ulm, to the south of us, is named after the city in Germany, Ulm. And yet Ulm is not a word, it's an acronym. U-L-M. In Latin, it means ultra limites militare. It means that border beyond which no military presence is found. In other words, it is the border of the empire. From the very beginning, that those rights, if you will, or those movements have been in tension with each other. A society's need and right to have secure borders, and yet the human need and the human right to be free of oppression and to seek safety, to seek economic good for family, to seek religious freedom. And in every generation, those questions boil to the future, to the surface. And in every generation, societies need to wrestle with that seemingly contentious issue. Well, we as a people, we as a nation, are presently wrestling with that. And much of the discussion, much of the issue is at this point been around economic questions or legal questions, or cultural questions. And I would suggest that for you and for me, for people of the Judeo-Christian tradition, fundamentally, it's a humanitarian and a moral issue. It's fundamentally an issue around balancing the rights and needs of the majority and the rights and the needs of the minority. The rights and the needs of the society and the rights and the needs of the individual. And my guess is that there is a way in which we can do that. That there is a way in which we can look to the legal, cultural, economic good of a society, and yet at the same time create opportunities for men and women to immigrate or to come as refugees or to come as migrants into that society and be treated with respect and with honor, be treated in a way that allows them to contribute to the well-being and the welfare of this society. To find the moral line, to find the moral point by which the good of the community and the good of the individual can come together. Jesus himself and Mary and Joseph were caught up in the very same issues. And the Judeo-Christian tradition expresses salvation history in those issues. What we seek to do is to create a humane and a legal and honest and a moral way in which the stranger can be welcomed, the society can thrive, the economic and social structure can be strengthened, and the human dignity of all can be advanced. To do this in a reasonable, in an honest, and a dispassionate fashion. To do this in a way that respects all. To do this in a way that seeks the best for all. A week from now, you and I will have an opportunity to address a message to those who represent us and those who will have to make those decisions in the coming months around immigration reform. And the message I would suggest that we send to them is simply that we look for the moral and the humane, as well as the legal and the economic solution to the issue, so that all might be served. We'll have that opportunity as postcards are provided after Mass next weekend. I have written about this in the parish bulletin, and there is an insert in the bulletin. I would invite you to prayerfully consider your willingness to endorse that kind of encouragement that we as a people might embrace a humane, a humanitarian, and a moral resolution to a problem that has vexed the human family from the very beginning.